Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading and reflecting upon the apocalyptic section of the book of Daniel these past couple of weeks has reminded me of my time in seminary. Not because seminary was apocalyptic necessarily, but it didn't always make sense. And I wasn't sure that it would ever make sense. Especially my first semester of my first year, when I first sat in class with Reverend Dr. Klein Snodgrass. You may have heard his name recently. I quoted him last week in my sermon. He taught Introduction to the New Testament with a focus on the Gospels. And I think his goal, it was sort of like boot camp. I think his goal was to let us know how much we didn't know before he begun to teach us so that we began to know something. And he was about my dad's age, and so I related to him sort of as a father figure, and I really didn't want to disappoint him. So there's a lot of pressure to put on a 35-year-old seminary student who hadn't been in school for a while. The night before our first midterm exam, there were a number of us studying together in the study rooms in the library. It was late, at least for a 35-year-old. It was like 10 o'clock. And me and my buddy were studying, and when we had a question, so we went around to find other classmates who may have been studying for the same exam and to see if they understood the difference between the Talmud and the Mishnah any better than we did and what made them different. And turns out they didn't know any more than we did. So as we talked about it, somebody said, well, maybe we should call Klein. Is that a good idea? Well, he gave us his phone number. All right, do you think he really intended us to use it? Well, and he said he's always up late. Well, one of us was brave enough to try it, not me. I was afraid. And so they took their flip phone out, put it on speaker, set it, dialed his number, and set it on the table, and Klein answered. And again, I was a little nervous, but Klein was thrilled to hear from us. I personally had never called the professor at home, let alone at 10 o'clock at night, but he was thrilled. He was thrilled to hear that we were studying together and there were a bunch of us in the room trying to get this question answered. He was thrilled that we were taking our studies so seriously. He was thrilled to be a resource to us. And then after he answered that question, asked if we had any others. And then when he'd answered all of them and we told him we were still nervous about the exam, he told us to just be faithful. Just be faithful. This was not the last time Klein would tell us that, nor would it be the last time he would tell me to just be faithful. Whenever any one of us was stressed or concerned or anxious, that was Klein's advice. Just be faithful. Be faithful in your studying. Be faithful in your ministry. Be faithful in your relationships. Be faithful in your religious observance. Be faithful amidst the challenges of life. Be faithful when things are inexplicably going better than you ever imagined. Be faithful to the one who has proven himself faithful to us, Jesus Christ our Lord. So when I encounter a challenging text like this morning's from Daniel, and I'm supposed to figure out how I'm going to preach this text to you, I can hear Klein saying, well, just be faithful. When I don't know what I'm going to say, when I am on my way to visit with somebody who's grieving, or to visit with somebody who's dying, I hear Klein saying, just be faithful. When I don't have the answers to the questions you invariably ask me, I hear Klein saying, just be faithful. When I don't want to get up on a Sunday morning, when the alarm clock goes off and it's still dark outside, and I don't like the sermon that I've written, and when I get to the church and I brew coffee and it ends up brewing all over the counter in my study instead of into that carafe, I got rid of that coffee maker, I'll have you know. And I'm all frazzled by the time I get into the sanctuary to go over worship. I hear clients saying, just be faithful as I prepare for worship. This morning's text, our final passage from Daniel and the end of our sermon series, does not preach itself. This is not a passage that just preaches itself. You know, sometimes we're blessed with a passage that tells a story that illustrates the point, and pretty much all I have to do is retell the story and the sermon is done. Those are the good Sundays. Not today. Not today. Sometimes a passage is so familiar that I hardly have to say anything because everybody already knows the story. They know what it means. They've heard it preached 1,000 times. I don't need to worry about saying anything that you haven't heard because you've already heard it. But not today. Sometimes the passage is impossible to interpret without reading what the scholars have written. And even then, it doesn't make sense. Today. That feels like what happened today and maybe even last week, if I'm being honest. Our reading today is from the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and it concludes this apocalyptic section of the book. And these final words are the summary, the encouragement, the final words of the author to us as the reader. But what is he talking about? Who is he talking about? There's one figure on one side of the river, another figure on another side of the river. What are they saying to each other? When are they talking about? It doesn't make sense. So I remind you of Klein Snodgrass's soon-to-be-famous words. When you read a text like this, just be faithful. Just be faithful as you wrestle with this text. Just be faithful as you discern how the author and how God would have you respond to this text. Just be faithful. Although Klein said this countless times, I don't think for him it was ever a cop-out. I don't think these were empty words to him. I don't think he intended them to sound trite or insensitive. Instead, I think he intended them to encourage us in the face of our insecurity. I think he genuinely had faith in us, and he wanted us to lean into that faith, to trust in the God who had called us to the work that was before us, which would prepare us for the work of the ministries to which we were called. You see, it's no small thing to be faithful. In fact, if one is faithful, if one is faith-filled, the result would be a life lived that reflects the one in whom you have faith. If one is faithful or filled with faith, the result is a life lived that reflects the image of the one in whom you have faith. So we should be faithful. Faithful as we read and attempt to discern which of these conflicting scholarly interpretations of this apocalyptic passage sounds the most reasonable to us. How do you like that sentence? Clear enough? So too were the interpretations I read. Every scholar has a different opinion about what every part of this passage might possibly mean, and such is the case with apocalyptic literature. When everybody interprets every different part differently based upon their perspective or what they hope will happen or what they think has happened. The irony with this particular passage is that I think the overarching point, believe it or not, is to just be faithful. I think that's what Daniel wants us, and God wanted Daniel to hear and to understand. Be faithful. Because there will be times in your life, as we have read throughout Daniel, when one nation will conquer another, when one king will come to power and the other will begin to lose their power. And when that happens, our customs might be challenged. When that happens, our religious freedoms might come under attack. When that happens, we might even be expected to revere, honor, pay tribute, and worship someone other than God. And if or when that happens, Daniel encourages us to just be faithful. Not because it's easy. It certainly wouldn't have been easy being thrown in the furnace or the lion's den. But it makes sense to be faithful to the one whose kingdom will last forever, which is what we read and I preached, I think, almost every Sunday in Daniel. Be faithful to the one whose kingdom will last forever. Other kingdoms will come and they will go, Daniel seemed to say, over and over again. But the kingdom of God will last forever. It's an everlasting kingdom. So this passing of the earthly kings and kingdoms through battle and war in the first half of Daniel makes way for this cosmic battle of good versus evil, of life versus death in the latter half. And in both halves of this book, the message is the same: be faithful. Be faithful to God, because God and God's kingdom will win, and it will last forever. So be faithful to the one who has been faithful to us. Now, our reading points to this final battle of good versus evil, and it even foreshadows the resurrection. Scholars seem to agree here in the Old Testament. We read, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. For there are and will be two options for us and for all people. The wise, or I would say faithful, will receive everlasting life. And those who are not, they won't. The question of when such things will take place is, of course, always asked. And in our passage, it's answered so clearly. So clearly. From the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, whenever that is, and the abomination that desolates and is set up there. Okay, we know the burnt offerings have been taken away thousands of years ago. Anyway, so obvious. There shall be 1,290 days. All right, clear enough, right? 1,290, just over, three and a half years. Everybody got that? That's when? Rest assured. Just be faithful and wait for 1,290 days. But then remember that nobody, even the Son of Man, knows when the day or time will come. Because in the next verse, we read, happy are those who preserve and attain the 1,335 days. Is it 1,290 days or 1,335 days? Yep. Just be faithful. Our reading ends not by telling us when, but does tell us what. What we should do. Verse 13 says, but you go your way and rest. Go your way and rest, and you shall rise for your reward at the end of days. Or, as I think Klein would paraphrase, go your way and be faithful. Be faithful as these things happen in the world around you. You don't know when. You don't know what will be the signs of these things that are about to happen. But you do know that the one who has been faithful for all of this time will continue to be faithful. For he has delivered three men from the furnace and one man from the den of lions, and he too will protect, preserve, and save you as well. Just be faithful. Be faithful to the one who has been and always will be faithful to you. Amen.